Hello, and welcome back to We Are the Weirdos, Mister, the podcast for all things cult, camp, queer, and creepy. I am your host, Hillary Michelle Post, and I am joined today by my beloved Heather. Say hi, Heather.
Hi.
So today we will be talking about the film Miller's Girl, starring Jenna Ortega and Martin Freeman. Now, this movie has been on my radar since the trailer dropped because I saw the camp potential immediately, plus I really like Jenna Ortega. And I showed the trailer to Heather, and she was immediately like, ooh, looks gross, hard pass.
Yes.
Which is totally fair.
And somehow here we are.
Yes. I want to take this moment to thank Heather for watching a movie that she knew would skeeve her out.
Oh my God,
she's the best.
I have no idea.
She texted me as soon as she started watching it. She was like, thanks, I hate it. I was just like, yes, this is exactly the reaction I wanted. Like, don't get me wrong, I hated it too, but I hated it so much I loved it. It is garbage, and you guys know how much I love garbage. Oh, I love me some garbage.
I have so much to say. Like, I don't even know where to begin, so
Well, we'll just preface. We'll say the film was written and directed by a new filmmaker named Jade Haley Bartlett. She wrote the screenplay in 2016, and it's kind of been circling around for a while. It was picked up by Seth Rogen's production company.
Oh, Seth.
And Jade also directed the film. And it had a very brief theatrical run and then was kind of thrown on streaming. It only has like a 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. The youths hate it. They think it's trash. They think it's exploitative garbage. And we'll get more into that. We'll get more into the Gen Z point of view of this movie here in a bit, because that's a separate conversation. But it did not do well. People aren't appreciating the garbage for what it could potentially be, which to me is like, to me, it reminds me of those like 80s exploitation films, like the Poison Ivies and that, you know what I mean? Like, it's harkening to that. I feel that wasn't its intention. I think it thinks that it's something really fancy, but in reality, it's trash. So before we get into all the things that are terrible about it, is there anything about it that you enjoyed?
It taught me two words I had never heard before. So, it did educate me a little bit. Other than that, no, I just pretty much hated it.
Oh, okay then.
Well, I mean,
that's fair.
It's pretty to look at.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I think aesthetically, I dug it. The cinematography, the costumes, the music.
Yes.
Aesthetically, it was a vibe. I really like the cast. Martin Freeman is a controversial figure. There's a lot of people that think he's very problematic. And we won't get into all that because that's like a whole other conversation. But I think as an actor, Martin Freeman is very compelling. I love Jenna. I really like the girl that plays Winnie, Gideon Adlin. I know her from the Craft sequel. I've dug her. Not Winnie is a train wreck, but like the actress, I like her a lot. But yeah, other than that, other than like the aesthetics and the people involved, that was pretty much it.
For you to give me just a very brief explanation of why he's problematic, I just didn't know this.
Oh, like he just kind of has like a gross sense of humor, and he's made comments that people took too literally. Like, I saw a post not too long ago where it was just like, he actually said, because he famously played Watson in the BBC Sherlock Holmes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, CBS did a modern Sherlock Holmes take called Elementary, and it had Lucy Liu playing the Dr. Watson part. And he made a comment about Lucy Liu being ugly, and it was clearly a joke. But since no one has media literacy or can or understands context or anything anymore, they took it literally and just like, he literally said that Lucy Liu was ugly. I'm like, that was a joke because she's so obviously not ugly. She's one of the most beautiful women in the world.
Absolutely. Like,
but I mean, there's more stuff than that, but that's just one of the reasons I've heard recently. I'm like, you can hate Martin Freeman. That's okay. Julie just hates him for no apparent reason. If you ask her, she just hates his face. But yeah, there's other stuff. I don't know. Who knows?
Okay. More drama. I needed to know because I don't hate him. So I was just like, huh, okay.
Right. Yeah, I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, I don't have a problem with him. Other people do. And I acknowledge that. Whatever. But yeah. So tell me some of your thoughts. You said you had notes within the first 10 minutes.
So I know we're doing this a little bit differently these days, but one of the first scenes, she's like, it's a voiceover, and what's her name?
Cairo.
Cairo. So basically, she sets the mood real fast that there will be no parents in this movie. It's like, get rid of the parents. So she lives, and they just gave her this house to live in by herself because they don't want to deal with her. And then she walks this long, creepy road to school every day. No, she doesn't. Like, no one, it's like this huge road. Like, what? No, you don't walk through the woods to high school every day. And it's not like a typical high school. It's like some sort of like fancy ass high school. Like, no.
Yeah. That's what kills me too. It says in the text, quote unquote, public high school. I'm like, in what world?
No.
Like, no public high school has classrooms that look like that. No public high school has classes that work that way, because they were talking about like signing up for it as if it was an elective. I'm like, he's just an English teacher. It's not an elective. You can't.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't. Yeah, it makes no sense. Yeah. So we meet Cairo at the beginning. Her family, like Heather said, they're big lawyers. They're always gone. She lives in this big like antebellum house. It's set in Tennessee, right? I read that the screenwriter is from Tennessee, so I'm sure she's just drawing from what she knows. It was filmed in Georgia, and even if you didn't know it was Tennessee, you immediately get it's a very Southern Gothic aesthetic, right?
Which I enjoy, but yeah. Not this.
Yeah. Within reason. Like, it's, this movie is so, it like wants to be a fairy tale, but it just tips into parody.
Yes.
Yeah. It wants to be outside of reality while dealing with such serious topics that I'm like, you got to pick one. You can't.
That's another note that I made. Like, what is this movie trying to be and who is its intended audience? Because the dialogue, which I have a lot to say about the dialogue, but it is so like academic, but then we're talking about a teenage girl who wants to fuck her teacher. Like, pick a lane. Like, teenage girls don't talk like this. I mean, has this person never been a teenager or never met a teenager in their lives? Because I'm sorry, this is not how teenagers talk to each other.
Right.
And it's, I don't know why that infuriates me, but as a person who works with teenagers daily, very educated, smart teenagers, they do not say these things.
Right. It's almost like, and yes, they're supposed to be seniors, whatever. And yeah, supposed to be very precocious and smart. But like Heather says, that doesn't mean it has to be completely out of the frame of reality. Especially when it's just the two of them. You know what I mean? Like, if it was a way Cairo spoke when she's with Miller, but when she's alone with Winnie, if they were more realistic, that would have worked.
No, they're not.
Right. Like, because even Winnie, because Winnie's not even supposed to be as, she's supposed to be smart too, but not as smart as Cairo. But even the way Winnie talks is like, no one talks like that.
Well, yeah. And even when they try to make it like more hip, which is lame for me to say that, but honestly, I think that's what this filmmaker thinks. She was like, hungy, chicky nuggy, like, ooh.
Yeah, let's get a chicky dicky. I'm like, oh, shut up.
Yeah, no one says, oh, hungy. Oh. Like, in school, like, it, what?
Right.
She's like, that part did make me really laugh, because she was like, what did she say about Winnie? She was like, she doesn't talk in full sentences. She's a child.
Right. I will say this, they do have some good quips in this.
Yes.
Like, I like when we first meet Winnie, she looks Kyra up and down and she's like, "You're overdressed as usual, I see." And Kyra goes, "Your underwear as usual, I see." There's like, it's good banter, but yes, like the subject matter is so crass and bottom of the, like, you know, it's very lowbrow with this really highbrow dialogue that, like Heather says, it's like, who are you trying to cater to?
And we don't get a why. So it would be a little bit different if we got some backstory on the main character and why she was so infatuated with this teacher, why she wanted to act maybe more highbrow or more academic to get him to notice her. But I just don't know a why. Like, it's like the strangers, like, you were home, like, you were my teacher, so I obviously wanted to fuck you.
Right. Like, and this is nothing against Martin Freeman, like, he's fine, it's whatever, but I feel like if they had gotten someone maybe just a smidge younger and a smidge hotter.
Yeah, he's just an average looking white dude. Like,
yeah, nothing. He's just a dude. Like, my mom watched it. I watched it twice, and I watched it with my mom last night, which I always love to do because my mom is so funny. And she immediately was just like, "This is the guy. This is the guy we're going to." I was like, "Mom." She's exactly. Like, "Well, come on." Like, mom's saying the quiet part out loud. She's just like, especially since here's the thing. Jenna Ortega is beautiful.
She is.
But she's like 21 and she does not look 21. So much, in fact, that my mom was like, "These girls are supposed to be seniors." I was like, "Yeah." She's like, "They look 12. I said, "Mother, they're both in their 20s. She's like, "They don't look it. Jenna Ortega is 21 and Gideon Adlin is 26. I'm like, "Well, good casting." I'd rather they look like the children that they're supposed to be. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it just makes you feel icky because, like, I know that Jenna Ortega is an adult, but anytime I'm just like, "Man, Jenna is such a cool person. She's so attractive." But I'm like, but she doesn't look like she's 21. So it's like a push-pull thing, which I'm sure they was a conscious decision on their casting. Well, I mentioned it's set in Tennessee. Talk about accents for a moment.
Oh my God, they were terrible. But okay, so the accents were terrible, but it seemed that Jenna didn't even have to have one. Did you notice that? She didn't really have an accent at all, but everybody else had terrible ones. So it was just like, we want Jenna to play this role. Jenna, you can just do whatever the fuck you want because you're beautiful and people are going to watch this movie for you. This is the only reason people are watching this movie.
Totally. Totally. Like, every once in a while, she would slip in a, like, writing instead of writing, you know, like, that was the main thing they would do, is they would just slip in, like, a soft N or instead of an ING. But, like, and Martin Freeman famously is British. So, like, good, thanks for trying.
Actually, this, I could be totally lying right now, but isn't, like, a Southern accent one of the first accents that British people learn because it's one of the easiest for them to do?
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Okay. But still, I mean, he's still, no. Sorry, man.
Yeah, it was pretty weak. Yeah. What I think is funny about this movie too is it's such a small cast. Like, there's a couple brief scenes where there's like a lot of people in the background, but it's only a cast of 6 speaking roles. So much so that it almost read like a play.
Yeah.
Like, this probably would have been better as a play, to be honest.
Agreed. And sometimes I'm like, is anyone else go to the school? Like, is anyone in this class? Like, where are the other kids at this school?
Right. Speaking of which made me think of one scene where you see people in the background. There's a scene where Mr. Miller, his name's John and his wife Beatrice and their friend Boris Fillmore are all at dinner and Winnie is their waitress. Winnie is serving them alcohol.
No way.
I'm like, in what world can an 18-year-old serve alcohol?
I mean, unless Kentucky has some loosey-goosey rules, as far as I know. Or, yes, sorry. Just same thing. In Ohio, you can, once you're 18, you can serve closed, like drive-through or whatever, alcohol, or if you get it at Walmart. But if it's an open container of alcohol, like a drink at a bar, you have to be 21. So I thought that too, but I have so much to say about that scene because everyone's relationship to everyone in this movie is so fucking awkward and not real. Like nothing's real and everything hurts. Like it's so fucking stupid. Like Martin Freeman and his wife, like their relationship. Okay. First of all, this woman, all of the, like, I don't even know where to start with this comment. I have two things to say. Okay. So first, she's always in a fucking nightgown and she can never keep her one boob in the nightgown. So she's got her like lacy bra hanging out of every scene, the same boob. Like she can't keep her boob in the nightgown. It's a different nightgown every time, almost the same bra. She can't keep her damn boob in it. And she has company over, like the friend from school. Like that guy's like the best character too. Right. He comes over and she's still got her loosey-goosey boob hanging out of her nightgown that she just fucking wears all the time as an educated woman who does whatever the fuck she does in her fucking nightgowns. I don't know, like that infuriated me to no end.
Is it supposed to be like illustrating that she's a lush? Because I think she's supposed to be an author, but she's an alcoholic. So they're just like, she's going to be sexy, but sloppy and like not put together. I guess
maybe, but did you really have to illustrate that? Like I got that out of
right. Her performance was enough. You didn't have to have her boob hanging out.
Yeah. And also, who's goddamn Amy?
Her assistant, I guess.
Oh, her
editor maybe.
Okay.
I guess.
And that was another thing. Like, so in close to the beginning of the movie, when she gets a text, remind you that this movie wants to be highly academic, but then it shows text boxes like pop up on the screen. And I'm like, so what is this movie? Like, is it like a nod to like Gen Zers and like, you know, making visible text boxes? Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Or is it supposed to be an academic movie? Like it can't be both. I mean, it doesn't do both well.
Right. Right. There's something about the aesthetic and the heightened language that kind of wants it to be outside of time, but then it dates itself with things like that.
Yes.
Yeah. One of the... Oh, shit. What was I going to say? Something about Beatrice. Oh, yeah. Beatrice and Boris, they're like all friendly together. But you were right when you said that Boris is like the best character. Don't get me wrong, Boris is not a good man.
No.
But he's funny and he's interesting. And just like he says later in the movie, he knows where the line is. Whereas John likes to pretend that he's a better person than Boris and has a more higher moral high ground. But he doesn't realize where that line is. And with John in Cairo, it's very blurry.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not sure Boris completely knows where the line is, but like he dances around that line, but whatever.
Right. He knows how to play the game. John is just an idiot. So in one of the B stories of this is that Winnie wants to fuck Boris. And there's this scene when I first watched it, I watched it by myself, but I was talking to the screen the whole time, like you do. And there's this scene where she's like hitting on Boris and she's like, I want you to tutor me. And he's like, you don't need a tutor. And she says, what do I need? I'm like, Jesus. I'm like, quit hitting on your teacher. Yeah.
Quit. Stop. I feel like, I mean, as a teacher, like, I was trying to like understand this movie because like any storyline of this like taboo is like so icky to me because that is my profession. And like, I'm trying to get how it would be someone's kink, but I really can't because it's just like their children.
Right.
you are the adult in charge, the superior over them. Like, I don't know. Like, it's really icky to me. And so I'm like, is someone watching this movie like, yeah, like, yeah, fuck your teacher. Like, what?
Like, it should have, it should have been college.
Yes. Yes.
And it still would have been icky because there's still that power imbalance. But at least yeah. it wouldn't have been illegal.
Yeah.
So if you're listening to this and you haven't seen the movie, which is highly likely because no one is going to watch this movie. I'm kidding. You might. If you clicked on it, you probably are like, yeah, I watched this. Let's hear you talk about it. If you don't know, what ends up happening in the film is John and Cairo connect intellectually. And they start this friendship that is, from the very beginning, is very probably not appropriate. They, like, they go to a poetry reading together outside of school. They, like, share cigarettes together before school. It's very, you just, shit you shouldn't probably do. Especially in a male-female dynamic.
No, I shouldn't do that with my female students either.
No, but yeah, that's true. well, like, if you went to, like, a poetry reading with a student, I wouldn't think anything of that. But if you went to a poetry reading with a male student and you let him drink wine and shared a cigarette with him.
Yeah, call me out on that one.
Right. I'd be like, dude. The optics aren't good, right?
Yeah.
But he gives Cairo a head start on the midterm, and he assigns her a short story written in the style of her favorite author. And she comes to him and says she wants to write in the style of Henry Miller, which okay. immediately he should have said, no, because that's not appropriate.
Okay, but I was like, the Crucible guy? And I was like, oh, no, that's Arthur Miller. Huh? I was like, he wrote what?
Oh, God. But he lets her pick Henry Miller, and then she, and now here's where it gets ambiguous. Here's the whole discussion we need to have. There's a scene where he accidentally picks up her cell phone after class and puts it in his bag. And so she calls her cell phone and is like, hey, you have my phone. Will you bring it to my house? We see him bring it to the house, and in this scene, it shows them kissing in the rain. And then, shortly after that scene, we cut into a fantasy that is the acted out short story that Cairo has written. And she changes the names to Mr. Murphy and to Alice, but it's clearly supposed to be John and Cairo, where they have sex. What is weird is we, as the viewer, are kind of unclear if that kiss actually happened or if it's part of the fantasy. I watched this movie twice. I still don't know. I even tracked down a copy of the first draft of the script from 2016 and read that scene, and the kiss isn't in the original screenplay. So I still have no idea if that kiss fucking happened.
I don't think it did.
I don't think so either. But they put it in it in such a weird spot that it's just, I don't know. I like to think that it didn't. I hope it didn't.
That was the only thing, that ambiguity, I liked for it trying to be a highbrow movie, because it made me think. And that's about the only thing in this movie that made me think. Right. So that was like, okay, if this is what you're trying to be, you want this to be ambiguous. Like, I liked that about it.
Right. After she sends John this story, and as we said, he's living with his wife Beatrice, who he's a failed, I hate to put it that bluntly, but he's like a failed writer, and she's a successful writer, and she's a lush, and they're unhappy. And he like goes out to the shed and reads this story and masturbates to it. Not cool. Not cool, John. Excuse me. But then the next day he goes to Cairo and he's like, you have to rewrite this. I won't accept this. This isn't appropriate. And Cairo flips her shit. And she's like, you told me to write what I know. This is what I know. This is us. She rips into him. And she has this one great line I really like. She says, you can't blur the lines and expect me to see a boundary when I suddenly cross it.
Yeah.
Which is true, because he's the adult and she's the child.
Yeah. I actually Yeah.
Like, here's, he's so dumb. I understand his knee-jerk reaction. He's right. It's inappropriate. She has to rewrite it. That's not okay. But he went about it the wrong way because...
He's an idiot.
Because the reason that this inappropriateness is happening is because of a relationship that he fostered, that he initiated, that he encouraged. So he is in the wrong here. And that is how he should have played it to Cairo. He should have been apologetic. He should have been empathetic. He should have begged her. Because if I was in that position, God forbid, I would never have let it get to the as far as it got. Because I'm not a fucking idiot, John. But if I was in his position, I'd be like, listen, Cairo, this has gotten out of hand. We can't be together. You're a student and a child. I'm sorry that I've led you on. I'm sorry if I hurt your feelings. I appreciate your friendship. That's all it can be. Please rewrite this, because if anyone were to read this, they would get the wrong idea and I could get in a lot of trouble.
Or if he were just a tad bit smarter, mm-hmm. he would have A, never met with her alone again, took the story to the principal and said, she wrote this. It's completely inappropriate and false. And he would have looked like the reliable person as the adult, even though we know that they have a little bit of a history. The principal probably would have believed him and it could have been over. Like if he would have just been like, nope, I'm drawing the line right now. I'm never seeing this girl alone again. I want her kicked out of my class. She wrote this. It's inappropriate. It never happened. I mean, he's still creepy for doing all the things he did, but he might have like saved his life. I mean, his livelihood.
Right. Totally. See, all it takes is two brain cells to rub together, John. And like, there's two perfectly viable. Yeah, like, what an idiot. So Cairo takes the story and gives it to the principal and tells the principal, you know, that it really implies that it really happened, and John gets suspended. And what's... How do I open this? Oh, I forgot to mention that she has to write an essay for Yale about her biggest accomplishment to date. And she ends up writing about this. Like, her biggest accomplishment today is ruining this man's life.
Yeah, right? Good for you. Oh, yeah, let's go to Yale.
Yeah, very weird. Very weird. I don't know.
This is where I wrote, see, this is why you don't fuck teenagers, because they're crazy. Okay? if people don't have a fully developed brain yet, and you're an adult person, don't fuck them. Don't fuck them. don't think fuck about fucking them. Don't act like you're gonna fuck him. Don't even look at him, okay? Don't sit close to him on a couch at a fucking poetry reading in Tennessee. Just mind your own.
Thank you. That reminds me of what I was going to talk about. This movie fits into a genre, maybe not as well as other things, but it fits into the genre that, you know, Tumblr fans have kind of named. It's after a quote from an author, Megan Abbott. She said in one of her books, there's something dangerous about the boredom of teenage girls. And yeah, that's
teenage girls are dark and mysterious.
Yes. And full of, let me see if I can find the exact quote. Cause that's a good point. Cause Beatrice and John have like a fight at the end because, you know, she's like, did you fuck her? And he's like, no, I didn't. She's like, but you wanted to. And that's where the problem is. And she's totally right. But, teenage girls are dangerous, Jonathan. They're full of emotional violence and vitribution. word that I learned from this movie. Vituperation? Right? Is that the word? Yeah. Yeah. Bitter and abusive language.
I think psychopathy? They taught me that word.
Oh, was that another word?
Yeah, she was like, is whatever that word is that what drew you into drew you into her at first, and the word means like having like an admiration for, you know, someone in a higher level than you. Mm. Like, is that where she, because she took him seriously because he was a writer and she liked his book or whatever.
That reminds me too, speaking of like vocabulary words, Heather texted me and there's a scene where Winnie refers to John as pastoral, and she goes, if my students knew what pastoral meant, I wouldn't have a job.
Yeah, I wouldn't need to have a job.
Kids don't talk like this. Oh man, your texts were great.
There's another one. Let me find it in my notes that I wrote down. So at one point in the movie, the girls are trying to, well, they're going to make out and they're trying to get Boris to want to fuck Winnie. And so they're like, what should we say to him? And Carol was like, we're measuring the depths of our sexuality within the safe confines of our relationship. What teenager ever? Yeah, we make it out. Just see what it's like. That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
I just want to know what you think, girl.
Is that like, does she think that's sexy? She must. Like, they think that if they speak in a certain way that people will take them more seriously and look at them as more adult is what I think. But that doesn't mean they teenagers actually have the mental capacity to speak the way they do.
Let me just say, I have mad respect for teenagers. I'm just saying, people don't talk like this. Unless they're like, you know, like an academic conference. Like, what?
Yeah, it's like we said earlier. It's like, it's not about not giving teenagers the credit to be as smart as these characters are. It's about the realism of the situation versus the really real stakes that are laid out. If you're going to have real life stakes to this relationship, which is what the end of the movie is about, you know, John actually getting in trouble for fostering this relationship, then you have to have real interpersonal relationships. And that interpersonal relationships don't feature stuff like, we're measuring the depths of our sexuality from blah, 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 blah.
No.
The movie just has a tone problem. It just needs,
yes.
It needs to be tweaked. It needs to be set in college. It needs to have lower stakes. It needs, because at this point, the stakes are ambiguous because Cairo is a senior. So she could, if she is 18, which is even unlikely, most teenagers are 17 for most of the school year. If she is 18, technically it wouldn't be illegal for them to be together. But it would be, again, it would make him lose his job.
I'm not sure if that's true. Because since they're still in a public school setting, I think it is still illegal.
Well, good. Good. Glad to hear. That's
like, that's why it isn't in college. But in high school, I think it doesn't matter if they're 18 or not.
Oh, good. That's a relief, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be.
Yeah. As it should be.
I have a couple things to say if I can.
Are you good? Absolutely. Go ahead.
Okay. I just want to talk about a couple of my favorite one-liners. Okay. At one point, she says to Winnie, you're a lesbian. And Winnie says, I'm an equal opportunist. also, Boris and what the hell's his name? The main guy.
John.
Mr. Miller, whatever. Yeah. One of them's like, you're a sadist. And he's like, I'm a public school teacher. I love that. But as I was watching the movie, I thought there's one way this movie could end that would make me absolutely fucking love it. So maybe I should have written this movie. So if they kind of develop a like semi kind of inappropriate relationship, they go to this poetry reading together. Yeah, there's blurred lines, but like nothing happens between them. And then he uses the rest of the novel, like writing the story and get as his, the rest of the movie as his next novel. Like her actually writing the story never happened. Like that's what he wrote in his book. And it's like his next bestseller. Even like, he had a blurred line, but they never crossed it. He wrote this all as a book. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was like, ooh, that's clever. That's academic and clever.
Right. I'm going to be the devil's advocate here, because I feel like the movie wants John and Cairo to both be victims and both be villains. And I think it succeeds in that. But I think at the end of the day, they're both villainous towards each other, but they both kind of save each other in a way because they inspire one another. The situation inspires Cairo to write her essay for Yale, right? And at the end of the movie, we see him sit down to write. So if he really was meant to be a writer, if he wanted to be a writer, which he argues throughout the whole movie he wants to be, maybe him losing his job was for the best. Maybe it should have, and maybe it does push him to do exactly what you just said. Maybe this does become his next great novel.
Mm-hmm. Or sends him to jail. I don't know.
I was like, yeah, I don't want him to have happy ending. Fuck him.
I mean, whatever totally you gotta pay. I mean, for one to fuck a teenager, like, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
I guess it's worth it in the end, man. You're a writer now, man.
Oh, Heather, I love you.
I like wanted to scream this whole movie. Like. Okay, but, well, when we are nearing the end of our discussion, I have a couple questions to throw out to you, so just let me know.
Hit me with it.
Okay, so they talk about Henry Miller, which I am not super familiar with, but are you?
Not particularly.
But they talk about, I read a little bit about him this morning. They talk about he put more, like, graphic and vulgar, like, sex into more mainstream, like, novels. Mm-hmm. And which made me think of these couple questions. Is porn literature, how much porn can be in something that is known as a great work of literature? And what was the other one? Maybe that's just it. So is porn literature, and how much, like, what's the line of how much sex there can be in a book that's like, that is literary masterpiece?
I think porn can be literature. I think, and I think the limit, to quote Mean Girls, the limit does not exist. I think if, no matter what type of response it elicits, whether it's an arousal or anything of that nature, any written work that elicits some type of emotional and maybe even physical reaction, I think can be considered literature. Even if something is so vulgar that the only purpose that pen was put to paper was to give you a boner, to me, that is just as legitimate as I'm putting pen to paper to make you cry. I'm putting pen to paper to make you empathetic. I'm putting pen to paper to make you happy or laugh. It's all, to me, it's all the same. But then it gets hairy because you're like, when is a nude art and when is a nude? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's something to me about the written word and the act of writing and translating physical acts into language. Just that one filter makes it heightened, personally. What do you think?
I don't really know what I think. I mean, like, what makes great literature? Like, what is literary merit? Like, because that's something in my academic classes and English classes, I've heard, like, does this have literary merit? And I ask my students that sometimes too, but, like, what does that even mean? Like, if you really think about it, like, it has literary merit if it makes you think. Well, I don't know, necessarily getting a boner doesn't make you think, but I'm not saying porn can't be literature. Like,
right. Well, it's just like, I haven't finished it yet, by the way, but I started watching Mona Lisa Smile the other night, which Heather enjoys. It's kind of the same idea, just like with art. It's like, what is art? Who decides? Mm-hmm. It's the same, you know, thesis. It's like, well, what is literature and who decides?
Yeah.
And is there an answer?
And I mean, sometimes we don't call works literary when they're super popular. Like, just because, you know, Twilight was super popular, is that literature? Hell no. Like, it's just, popularity doesn't necessarily mean literary merit.
Right. And vice versa. Just because something is popular doesn't mean it's not, right? Like, you know, for instance, let's talk about in cinematic language, Barbie, huge popular success, huge popcorn movie. Box office, money, blah, 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 pop culture, iconography, but is still getting rewarded in these, you know, award shows for its cinematic merit.
Yeah.
And artistic merit. So, you know, I think they can exist at the same time. Which I guess is what I think of as porn and literature. They can exist at the same time, too. I mean, I kind of want to read some Henry Miller now. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, when I heard the word cum money, I was like, I gotta know about that.
When he's like, she's like, do you have a big load? And he's like, I could paper mache you. I was like, ew, gross. Oh, that's funny. Do you have any other notes that we haven't touched on?
I think we've pretty much touched on them all.
I mean, this movie can also have a big discussion on its reflection of the Me Too movement and is it dangerous to in this particular political climate to illustrate someone lying about something like this? But like I said, at the end of the day, I think the mission was for both of them to be villains and both of them to be victims. And even though Cairo does lie about what happened to her and John, what did happen between her and John was still not appropriate. So he still kind of got what he deserved.
Yeah.
Should you lie about assault or rape, whether it's statutory or not? Absolutely not. But you also shouldn't have any type of relationship with a child. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just the whole movie was weird relationships with everyone all around. Like, even how Winnie, as their waitress, interacted with John and his wife and Boris, like being her two teachers and one of her teachers' wives, like she was like cussing, flirting. Like, that's not how you interact with people.
Yeah.
Like, you know, your teacher's wife, your teachers, like, I mean, everyone should have saw that there were blurred lines. You know what I mean? Like, no one drew a line the whole damn movie. Like, I would, if I were sitting there, I'd be like, whoa, you're not going to talk to me like that at a restaurant. You're not talking to me like that anywhere. Like, what? You're not flirting with me. I'm having fucking dinner with my wife. Like,
right. What the hell's the matter with you?
Yeah.
I do feel like they tried to redeem Winnie at the end. You know, she's the person that goes to Cairo and is just like, you're ruining his life, please don't do this.
Why are you doing this? I'm like,
right. And you know that Winnie, like, clearly got her feelings hurt because, yeah, she wanted to fuck Boris, blah, 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 but more than anything, she clearly was in love with Cairo. And Cairo hurt her feelings by using her. So that's a whole dynamic that is fucked up. I don't know. Poor Winnie.
Yeah.
She, at the end of the day, Winnie's the only person I really feel bad for.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I think this movie is a fun watch because it does make you, anytime a movie makes me ask a lot of questions, good or bad, I find it entertaining. Anything that gives me an excuse to, like, talk at my screen, good or bad, I love. So when I say I love garbage, that's what I mean. Anything that makes me engage as much as this movie did, I think is worth your time. It is currently available to rent for $7 or own for like 14. Full disclosure, I did buy it. It is something that I will, like, show other people to elicit the response that I got from Heather, which was, I hate you.
And also, you owe me $7.
Yes, I will venue that. We'll just add that to all the money I owe you for our vacation this summer. We'll just... Oh, goodness. But yeah, I think it has my recommendation. I think people should watch it, if for no other reason than to ask the questions that it elicits. And Jenna Ortega is just magnetic. Love her. I did want to talk about, I've mentioned at the beginning, Gen Z's reaction to this film. And while negative reactions to this film are in no way wrong, there are the people who are like uptight about the fact that Jenna Ortega filmed what was essentially a pretty demure sex scene with Martin Freeman. Like, the not even in the context of the story, just it existing period, like, people are pissed because there's a 30-year age difference between them. There's like, okay, she's an adult, she's an actress. She was in X, which, like, has a bunch of violence and sex in it, and you were fine with that. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that a 50-year-old man touched her, Gen Z is like, oh my god! I wholeheartedly disagree with the whole very popular take right now that, like, sex shouldn't exist in movies. I don't agree with that. And so I got really irritated when I saw another reason I wanted to watch this, because there was so much controversy around it just because of, oh, well, poor little baby Jenna Ortega had to do this with Martin Freeman, blah, 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 blah. Which, what you're doing when you say something like that is infantilizing an adult, because they weren't talking about the character. They were talking about the real person.
She is an adult and she chose this role and she read the script and she knew what was going to happen. Like,
right. There wasn't even any nudity in this film, people. Like,
no.
Calm down. There's a million reasons why this movie shouldn't exist. That was not one of them, I guess. That's all I need to say about that. Yes, that's my final thought. Do you have any final thoughts?
I don't even know. It made me very angry, but I did talk to the TV a lot. Bruce was like, do you want to just tell her you can't finish it? I was like, I hate it, but just let me keep watching it.
That's another great thing about this movie, folks. It is only 90 minutes, and that is hard to come by these days. Yeah. All movies are like 3 hours long, and this one, tight 90. So, there's that.
Yeah, it happened.
It was a thing that I adored. Well... thank you all for listening. I hope this episode gets this movie a little more traction, just because I think I want to hear more people's thoughts about it, other than like pissed off teenagers on TikTok. Thank you for listening. Thank you so much to Heather for enduring this and speaking to me about it. I loved your takes. I love you.
You're welcome.
And we'll be back next month with a whole new episode about a whole new movie. And until next time, we are the Weirdos, Mister.